Rabbi Akiva. I should say before I start that this is connected with my Chumash here that I gave last night. The full connection and how it connects back to the Parsha and to bring it back to Yaakov Avinu, that's from last night. So that is online. I'm connecting the Chumash here with this. It's not going to be a complete, it was just too long for me to get to the entire thing. The Vort on the Parsha is that, and then this is taking it a little bit further. Rabbi Akiva was one of four people who made it up to a something called Pardes. Pardes is translated differently by Rashi and Tosos. Pardes is a level of learning that is beyond most people's understanding. Rabbi Akiva was the only one of the four that made it. Ben Azai died, Ben Zoma went crazy, Elisha ben Avuya became an apikoros, however that's possible, and Rabbi Akiva was the only one that made it. Rabbi Akiva was the only one that fully went through with it and was able to be out there. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to come to such a level. It's a Gemara Menachos and Daf Chof Tesamud Beis that Moshe Rabbeinu davened that he could see Dore Doros, he could see all the future generations, the Gedolim and their generations, and he was shown Rabbi Akiva during a shir. He didn't understand the shir. And the Meforshim say that he was 18 milos below Rabbi Akiva. However, that's Shaykh. He was 18 milos below where Rabbi Akiva was. That's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. The other way they're translated by the Chassidish Svarim, by the Kedush Levi, by the Radamsker, by all the different Chassidish Svarim. It seems to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the 49th level. Moshe Rabbeinu got to level number 49. Mem tes panim l'Torah. He was able to get to the 49 levels of understanding the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva got to the 50th level. Rabbi Akiva got to that 50th level. What is that 50th level that Moshe Rabbeinu was never able to understand? Okay. Everybody knows the famous Medrash. This starts off one. Where Moshe Rabbeinu was looking down from the top of a mountain, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to see your face. I want to see what you do in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you won't be able to see my face, you'll be able to see my achorayim, my back, but you won't be able to see my face. What that means is that you can't see what I do before I do it. You will have no idea why I'm doing something before it happens. You'll only be able to see me from the back. After it happens, you can look back at it and maybe you'll catch a glimpse of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. If you're not in the 49th level, you're not even going to get the back. You're not going to get the back. You're not going to be able to understand even after the fact why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something. But beforehand, there is no question. We'll never be able to get it. Before it happens, there's no shiloh. There's no question you won't be able to see it. But Rabbi Akiva, he was able to see something. He was able to see the punim. He was able to see just a little bit. What is that level? That level is Tzadik Viralo Rosha Vitovlo. Tzadik Viralo Rosha Vitovlo. And the way that it's always been presented to me, it was known as Tzur. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rock. That he's solid. That everything he does is for the best. And Tzur is Tzadik Viralo. Tzadi Vavresh is Tzadik Viralo. Viralo. And that's what it means by Tzur. And we say it, I mean, Tzidik Adin, Hatsur Tamim Paolo. The rock, perfect is all of his works. Perfect is all of his works. He called Rachav Mishpat. Everything he does is in judgment. Such a hard thing to say, but this is how I heard it from Rav Shor, when Rav Shor was here for the words of Chizuk, that he was here before Rosh Hashanah. He said it out this way, and I'm taking it to a bigger extreme, a much bigger extreme than Rav Shor said it. Rav Shor said it in sort of like a side note, a side thing. He spoke maybe for 30 seconds on it, but it takes a lot. I mean, this is a lot of work, and I discussed it with Tuul Merabeim. This is what he said just was unbelievable. Just as a side note. Kichol d'rachav mishpat. You have to understand something. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges somebody, it's not like a human judge. It can't be. And I'll tell you why. Reuven goes and steals from Shimon. Reuven goes and steals from Shimon. He doesn't say it out. He doesn't tell anybody. He ends up getting caught. It's a big thief. It's a big theft. It's not just stop. He was robbed a bank. So not only does he have to pay back the money, but he has to go to jail. They throw him into jail. Reuven's not the only one that's affected by this. He's not the only one that's affected by him having to pay it back and going to jail. What about his wife? What did his wife do? His wife is now not going to have a husband for the next couple years. What about the kids? The kids are going to grow up without a father. The father's not going to be in the household. Now you might say, if he's such a thief, maybe it's better the kids don't have such a father. But Lamai said, the kids aren't going to have a father. The best friend of Reuven, Levi, lost his best friend. Yehuda, the guy who makes outfits for the jail, has to make another outfit. He ended up making money from it. Yisachar, who's the guard of the jail, has to make sure that everything works out well between this guy and all the new guys, you know, to make sure that the new guys fit into the system. Zvulun has a new roommate when he's in jail. I mean, you can go further and further. There was one judgment here, a guy stole, so therefore we punish him and we throw him into jail. A human judge can't fathom, can't realize how many people are affected by one person doing something wrong. That when you make a judgment, any judge goes and judges, and he's supposed to. Chazal, we are given permission to judge. We are given permission. Do you hear that? Just understand that for a second. Where in the world do we have the audacity to judge anyone? To sit down in a Beis Din, to be a dayan, and say, you owe that guy $100. You have the audacity to say that. You're not punishing that guy. You're punishing him and his kids and his wife and everybody else that's involved with him. You're not making him lose $100. You're making a whole family lose $100. What are his kids going to do now for Hanukkah? What are his kids going to do now for birthdays? He lost $100, not him. Think the $100 was just his? It's everyone that's affected. It's everyone. When there's a Din Torah, and there's one person that's affected by that Din Torah, it's not one person. The whole community could be affected. The whole family might become poor. And that means that the whole community is going to have to pay for them. And everybody's going to have to put in, and there's going to be a guy collecting. Rav Eichenstein is going to start up something, a whole Simcha fund, a Chesed fund to be able to start everything off. One person? No, it's not one. It's everyone. It's everyone, which means that if we really believe ki kol d'rachav mishpat, that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is in MS, is 100% true, that means that it's not that one guy who's chayv to lose $100. His wife was chayv to lose $100. His kids were chayv to lose $100. And that already is a concept. What does that mean that the kids are chayv to lose $100? The kids, what did they do? All the friends were chayiv to have a friend that lost $100. His mashkiach had to be able to talk to him, be able to say to him words of consolement, words of encouragement, don't worry about the $100. The rabbi of the shul has to make sure that this person doesn't say the wrong thing to that person because of all that. It's ki kol d'rachav mishpat. Do you really believe that the fact that every single person in the world is affected by this is because every single person in the world had this din upon them? It's not stam, that guy over there who died. It's not. It's that every single person is affected in the fact that he died for one reason and everybody else had to have that happen. It had to be in this way. I don't think there's a possible way for any human being to fathom that. I don't think there's a possibility for anybody to really get it. And can you imagine making that judgment to know every single person? And when do you do it? If you punish him on Monday, well, the wife's not going to deserve the punishment till Tuesday. Okay, so let's push it off till Tuesday. Okay, but the other person already did tshuva, so that person isn't affected by it. So we have to push it off till Wednesday. Okay, but that person ended up davening really well that morning, so therefore it didn't have to happen in that way. And that could go every second. Every second, it's re-cheshbened out. It's like the greatest, greatest possible computer system that keeps going randomly one after the other after the other, because everything can change. Within seconds, everything can change. Every person will change what they were doing in that possible moment, to which they don't deserve that onish. Now they deserve an onish. Now they deserve something different. Now they don't deserve something different. If you truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything be'emes, then you really believe that everyone that is affected, this means inadvertently or advertently, directly or indirectly, was chayiv in a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chayiv in a punishment. When something happens like what happened in Mumbai, and I bring this up because I wasn't here and I wasn't around. We were on the plane when it happened, Josh and I. We were on the plane when it happened. We were traveling. I didn't hear about it till that night when I went to my Bubbies and Zadies, and I only heard about it for 2 minutes, and I thought, I had no idea it was Jewish people. I thought it was just a terrorist attack stomp in a building. I had absolutely no idea. We found out when we were in Reshit in the morning, I believe it was Wednesday morning. We found out in Reshit on Wednesday morning that there was a funeral on Tuesday morning in Yerushalayim for the Kedoshim that passed away. I had absolutely no idea. I didn't call it. It was ignorance on our part, but we had a TV in our room. Josh kept wanting to turn it on. I kept saying, no, Josh, no, obviously. But there was a point where we sat there, and listen, we were out of it. We were completely out of it. And I know that's how it feels sometimes. Sometimes you don't realize what happens. You can hear about, Baruch Hashem, there are people that hear about Rav Blagojevich and immediately run over to everybody else and say, the governor's in trouble. But, you know, there are things that just happen and nobody finds out about them. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, you don't have to worry about such things. When we were there, we mamish had absolutely no idea that it happened. We had heard little bits and pieces, you know, little things, but absolutely no idea. And then when I came back and I heard the whole story, it really shocked me. And that Friday, I didn't hear it yet. I heard it Friday afternoon. And it really shocked me. And here's the issue. The issue that people are going to have is, what did these people deserve to die for? I mean, we have a Rebbe who lost a son. There was a Hasidic Rebbe who lost a son. Who, in the beginning, in front of Mishpacha magazine, it says he sacrificed his life for kashrus. Sacrificed his life for kashrus. That he was there, he was in India, he was doing kashrus things. I have an uncle. His name is Yaakov Burrow. He lives in Nofi alone. Who used to work for the OU and used to be in India for about 1 week out of every month. And he kashered out all these oil companies and this and that and the other. He said he was around that hotel. He knows that hotel very well, or the place where everybody was staying. He knows where everybody was. He could have been there. He doesn't work for the OU anymore. He stopped it. I don't know if this guy took his job. I have absolutely no idea. Absolutely no idea. But the Lubavitch Rebbe, not the Lubavitch Rebbe, the rabbi and his wife that passed away, can you imagine the shock that's going to go into that kid? Maybe it's because I'm married to a therapist. But the kid saw his father pass away. This kid watched his father die. That kid's messed over for life. The kid's not going to get over that. You can't get over such a thing. You watched your father pass away, and I said, well, he was only two. My wife looked at me, I'm like, you think at 2 years old you don't realize that something's happening? And she told me something from my past that happened when I was 1.5 years old. And something that happened. And it still affects me. It's still affecting me today. 1.5 years old. And it's a huge effect. It's a massive, massive effect. It's something big. She told me another example. I have a scar on my right hand. I don't know if anybody really sees it, but I have a scar on my right hand from when I was 1 year old. And I know this isn't an emotional thing. It's not a spiritual thing. It's more of a physical thing. Scar on my right hand because when I was 1 year old, I came out of the bath and I touched a radiator. And I have a huge scar on my right hand, aside from the scar over here and this. My right hand's a little messed up. I don't know if that's why I became a lefty, but my left hand and my right hand are completely different sizes. Completely different sizes. I could never palm a basketball with my right hand. I could never do a layup with my right hand, which was the reason why I didn't make the basketball team my senior year, because my coach hated me my junior year because I couldn't go ahead and make a righty layup. I had to use my left hand when I went up for a layup. A crazy little thing. I can't make the team my senior year. Why? Because when I was 1 year old, I went ahead and I touched a radiator when I was wet, and I burned my hand, and from then on, my hand was a little bit smaller, and I couldn't stretch it as much. And even though I had a surgery, and I was a junior in high school, and I lost 2 weeks out of the baseball season because of it. 2 weeks. I was picked by Kobe Robinson. We had a good team. 2 weeks. I missed 2 weeks because of it. Still, I got affected adversely by it, and I didn't make the basketball team because of it. I told people, you will only be able to feel it if you're looking for it when I shake your hand. That my hand is not smooth, that there is something there. That I have a scar there. But I'll show it. But that's just a physical scar. What about the emotional scar? What about the emotional scar of the parents of that those people that died? The parents. It's not them that deserve death. And it's Usser Gummer. Usser Gummer, you're a gopher almost. A gopher almost. If you say that they deserve to die because they did blank. What do you mean? They were the only ones affected? They were the only ones? Sure, they took it the worst. Their parents weren't affected? Their kids weren't affected? The wives of those people who perished, the husbands of those people who perished. The people who owned the hotel, the people who owned whatever building it was, the construction workers, they weren't affected? Every single person who has heard about this story, who has heard about it, had a din in Shemayim that this had to happen. Now, certain people were chosen as the people to die, to be the Kedoshim, to be able to go straight to Olam Haba, go straight to Gan Eden, because of a Malik going ahead and destroying these people's lives. They were chosen to be the Kedoshim in this situation. Other people were chosen to be sacrifices. Sacrifices as in, you sacrificed your child, you sacrificed your parents, you sacrificed your wife, your sibling, or whoever it was. Other people were chosen to be that. And other people were chosen to be affected in an inadvertent way that all of a sudden people are getting up and starting to talk about what happened over there. Talk about what happened. Every single person was affected. Every single person had something happen to them. And that's he called the Rachav Mishpat. That everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does is MS. Is MS. That everyone was affected. That parent was chayav to lose a child. It was decided on Rosh Hashanah. That child was chayav to lose a parent or both. And that was decided on Rosh Hashanah. And even though we can't understand how a child can lose it, do you really understand how a parent can lose a child? Do we really understand that? The people who had to go be Menachem Avol to those parents had to lose an hour of their day to go be Menachem Avol. That was also decided in Rosh Hashanah. That you're going to lose an hour because of it. You think, stomp, that you get a cavity. You get a cavity. And you have to go to the dentist 2 or 3 times to go take care of that cavity. That's a waste of time. That was decided in Rosh Hashanah that you're going to be Mavato from your life to take care of a cavity. It was decided in Rosh Hashanah. The dentist also had it decided. Because the dentist had to make money off it. And the secretary also to be able to put your name inside and everybody else that was involved. It was all decided. An all-encompassing psak that affected every single person. You expect to understand what God does? How in the world are you going to be able to understand how one thing can affect every person in the world? Every single person in one way. Rabbi Kiva was able to do it. But even then, what did Rabbi Kiva come up with? Kol d'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. He's a Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. I've heard different machlokism when he was the Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Some say that Nachum Ish Gamzu taught him the Aleph Beis. He was his Aleph Beis teacher. It seems to be from Yerushalmi. The others that say Nachum Ish Gamzu was later on when he was learning under Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanis and Rabbi Yoshua. But he learned Gamzu L'Tova, and Rabbi Kiva took it to a different level. Kol d'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. That Gamzu L'Tova is, this can also be good. This is also good. It's also good, but there is some bad to it. While Rabbi Kiva said, Kol d'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. Everything he does is good. There's no such thing as bad. No such thing. Everything. Because you gotta remember, he's not a human judge. He's not a human judge. So when a person looks at this, there are people that will start... it's not even... Some people have spekos. Some people will look at something like this and say, how could God let this happen? How could God let this happen? How could God let the Holocaust happen? Can you imagine how far-reaching the Holocaust is? That more than 60 years later, that there are so many Holocaust museums. How much Jewish money has been put into Holocaust museums to always remember and never forget, and yet we're always scared that it might happen again? Is that a little crazy? 64 years of an effect on Klal Yisrael. 64 years, almost 65 years of an effect on Klal Yisrael, on what that Holocaust has done. Aside from the millions of lives that died, aside from the millions of people who didn't know what to do with themselves, who had to move themselves here, this way, that way, or go all over the place. Aside from all the children, from the Agunos, and you hate to say it this way, but from the Mamzerim. From the Mamzerim of those who got married and had children and weren't supposed to. All those things are unbelievably effective. I mean, is everybody positive? And I'm saying this in a good way. Is everybody positive that there's no relative of theirs that may have married incorrectly, and that child is a mamzer, and that child's child is a mamzer, and that Baal Tshuva that you're thinking of marrying, their family didn't care the whole time because they didn't get a psak to go get remarried, that Baal Tshuva could very well be a mamzer or a mamzeres. You'd have no idea. Great story, unbelievable story. In New York, I have no idea if this is true. It can't be true. Can't be true. It mamish can't be true. I can't believe there wouldn't. I mean, there'd be signs up all over Lakewood. There's no way this could possibly be true. No way. But that story with the grandfather and the grandmother of the chassan and the kala who are standing up and watching their grandchildren get married, the grandfather from the chassan, the grandmother from the kala, whichever one. And the grandfather is looking over at the grandmother the whole time, and finally, after the chuppah is over, goes up to her and says, "Is your name such and such from such a city?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "I was your husband. I was your husband." She said, "Oh!" And they went, and they hugged, and everything was all happy, and now talked about their lives, and now their grandkids are getting married. A smart person will say, "Shh, that kid's a mamzer." It's not a mamzer to a mamzer. There's a question about that. If the husband gets remarried and has kids, is there a mamzer? But the mother, the wife, without a question, the kid's a mamzer. So we're dealing with a mamzer marrying somebody that's not. Now, Mistama, there were other issues in the story, if that was really true. There are probably other mamzerous issues over here. And like somebody got up and said, "Oh, that's also, you know, don't worry, I also married somebody." Somebody else was involved. You know, like it all worked out in the end. It's such a crazy story. Such an unbelievably crazy story. Then the question is, okay, halachically you want to go into it. Is there real marriage back then? Do we really know? Did they have Adam? Is there anything to prove that they were really married to one another? It's so far-reaching. How in the world are you supposed to... I love it. I love it when I meet somebody who honestly thinks that a human being can be God. Love it. That a guy named Yashki can just pick up and be God. You can't fathom what God has to do unless you think it's random. Unless you think that the judgments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not true. That he's just like a human judge. You know, he makes errors. He makes a mistake. Oops, forgot about that kid. Oh, totally forgot. Oh, I forgot about that mother-in-law. You know, they completely forgot that the mother-in-law is going to be affected. It's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So what comes out? What am I trying to say over here? I'm trying to say that when something like this happens, like what happened in Mumbai, like what happened in Moshe Rav Kook, like what happened, and I still can't see the pictures of Moshe Rav Kook. I told my wife, the only time that I looked at two of them, the pictures of the Sfarim, of the kids, of everything that they had on all the online, and all those, and Arutz Sheva, and whatever it is, I couldn't look at it. It's so close to home. I would cry every time I came close to it. And I'm not a crier. So on Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur, I went and I looked at it. I opened up some pictures. It took me two pictures, I was done. Two pictures. Sfarim with blood on it. You know what an effect? Chas v'shalom to think that I'm... Listen, I am a Baal Gaiva, but... Not that it was... Can you imagine that the effect that it was supposed to have on me was that I would cry in Erev Yom Kippur? For me to actually cry in Yom Kippur? Because it takes a lot for me to do that. So the whole... Not the whole point. A point of what happened there is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that I needed a reason to cry. And Erev Yom Kippur, he didn't want me to watch The Lion King when Mufasa died. So instead of doing that, I ended up looking at these two things, and all of a sudden, and that's what set it off. That was the effect on me. That was the effect on me. And there were effects on millions of other people. What am I trying to say? There's so much out there. So much out there. And I love saying this to people. Don't worry, when Mashiach comes, it'll all be explained. No, it won't. We think all of a sudden we're all going to have huge heads with huge brains. We're going to be able to fathom everything that happens. It won't all be explained. You'll be able to understand it on a very, very, very simplistic level. Very simplistic. We'll be able to understand basically, that's why it happened. Now I get it. Now I get it. Do you really understand why when Avraham Avinu said, Bama Eda, all of a sudden, 400 years of Mitzrayim? Oh, sure, because I remember there's a Kli Yakar. No, you don't. You have no idea. You have absolutely no idea. Do you really understand why Dina was raped? Do you really understand that? Yeah, because Shechem is this and that and the other, and there's Yeshamos and there's other things that have to happen. Come on! You don't understand a thing. Not one thing. On an extremely simplistic level. On an extremely simplistic level, you can understand maybe this is part of the reason why. You have no idea. You have no idea. But Yaakov understood. Yaakov was silent. He got it. He understood. Rabbi Akiva, he understood. Kol David Rachman Latav Ovid. Did he understand everything? No! If he tried to understand everything, he would have been like Ben Azai. He would have died. Or he would have been like Ben Zoma. He would have gone crazy. Or he would have been like Acher and become an Apikoris. You could become an Apikoris from going too far. From thinking too much into things. This is why it happens. Oh, that guy's father passed away? It's for sure because he went ahead and he stole that, $100,000, he made that $100,000 deal, and he made that guy go poor. It's because of that. That's why he died. No! You're a kofer! Your mom is a kofer! You're deciding that's the reason why he died, because he stole $100,000, and what was with that other guy? And what was with his wife? And what's with his kids? His kids are now Yisomim because he stole $100,000. What did they deserve to do that? What did they do? His best friend lost a best friend? What did he do? Yeah, but he stole $100,000, so he deserves to die. No! No! Why did these people die in Mumbai? Because they were Kedoshim. Because they could have died in a natural way. They could have died in some other normal way. It would have happened in some other way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, along with everything else there, that these people were going to represent the Kedoshim of Klal Yisrael. They were going to be the Nadav and Avihu of Klal Yisrael. They were going to be the Moshe Rabbeinu and the Aaron of Klal Yisrael. And die Al Kiddush Hashem and go straight to Gan Eden. They're guaranteed, no matter what they've done, no matter what part of Judaism you hold of, no matter what you think of Lubavitch, no matter what you think of them, it doesn't make a difference. They were died, Al Kiddush Hashem. That means they memela go into Olam Haba, no matter what they've done. They might have believed that the Mashiach was really the Rabbi. I have no idea. They might have believed that, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They still went to Olam Haba straight. Straight. Do you understand how far-reaching that is? How far-reaching? To me. During his lifetime, I might have called him an apikoros. I call many people kofrim an apikorosim. To me, I might have said that to him. I might have even said it to his face. When it boils down to it, what happened to him? Those Jews that were there that weren't from... Any Jew that's not from, that dies from any type of attack that is similar to Amalek, they're Kedoshim. They're Kedoshim. What does that mean? And we're supposed to understand that. I'm going to read you the Pasuk. That's really all you can do. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. The rock perfect is his judgment. Ki kol durachav mishpat. Everything he does is with mishpat. Emes or mishpat. El Emuna, God is trustworthy, v'ein avel, he does nothing wrong. Tzadik v'yashar hu. He's a tzadik and he's straight. Is that the most unbelievable pasuk in the Torah? Is there anything like that in the entire Torah? That tells you straight up You know what it does to you? It tells you, be quiet. Don't say anything. Kol David Rachman Latav Ovid. Halavai, we should come to that level. Halavai, we should come to the level to understand that it's time to just be quiet. To not ask those questions. To not say that. Halavai, during your lifetime, you can call him a kofer. When he's a kadosh, you say he's a kadosh. He's one of the kadosh. Halavai, we should come to that level. Should all be good. That's part of it. We have more. It's not for now. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.